Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm Mark LeVonier. Coming up in this hour, shows for Thanksgiving. Later on, it's the Family Theater from 1953. But first, it's The Adventures of Sam Spade, the second show featuring actor Steve Dunn in the lead, who was put in the position of having some very big shoes to fill in this popular series that had been on the air for 4 years at the time of the ousting of its beloved star, Howard Duff, whose name was caught in the crossfire of the Red Scare, where the House Un-American Activities Committee was on a mission to root out communists in Hollywood. And the show did go on with a Thanksgiving-themed story called The Terrified Turkey Caper, heard a day after the holiday on November 24, 1950 on NBC.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Tis I, sweetheart.
Sam! Oh, I was worried to death. This office, glass all over the floor, holes in the wall.
That was just business going on as usual during altercations, F.
Well, what was it all about, Sam?
They tried, Effie, just tried to pluck my feathers and cook my goose.
On Thanksgiving, too. How could they?
Oh, they were a mean lot.
Are you all right?
Hale and hearty. Every giblet in place and not a feather ruffled. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was heavenly. Mama had a turkey dinner, sage dressing, cranberry sauce, candied yams.
Hard cider?
A little.
Come clean, Effie.
Well, I had two glasses. Everyone was there. Cousin Gertie, Dwight, Mrs. Floss. I was disappointed when you didn't show up, Sam. Did you have Thanksgiving dinner?
Sure.
Where?
At the Helping Hand Rescue Mission, where there's plenty of free parking and never a cover charge. For further details, consult the report, which I will presently be down to dictate, on a tasty chronicle of foul play. The Terrified Turkey Caper.
For NBC, William Spear, radio's outstanding producer, director of mystery and crime drama, brings you the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Sam Spade!
Oh, you were waiting for me.
Having Thanksgiving dinner at a rescue mission where Mama cooked a perfectly wonderful...
Thank your mother for me, F. Tell her I'll be over to break wishbones with her tonight. And to atone for my social indifferences, here's a little something I brought for you.
Oh, Sam! You shouldn't have. It's beautiful. What is it?
A blunderbuss.
A blunder what?
Bus, as in step to the rear of.
Oh. Well, what does it do?
Shoots, F. It's a gun. Our founding fathers used it in foraging for feathered food when they settled this abundant continent.
And it's mine.
To do with what you will.
Where did you get it?
Pencil poise?
Yes, Sam. But who gave it to
you? Pad open?
Oh, yes, but I don't know.
Knees crossed?
Did you meet a founding father?
Don't peek. Date, November 24th, 1952. Detective Lieutenant I.C. Kelsey, Homicide Detail, San Francisco Police. From Samuel Spade, license number 137596. Subject, turkey. Dear Kelsey, this was a big week for the cranberry pickers, the butchers, the sage makers, and the stomach pill people. But for private detectives, it was strictly from hunger. My office door opened only twice a day, once to let me in and once to let me out. And when on Wednesday I heard a knock on the door, I went into a paroxysm of delight. Come in! Come in! Come in! Entrez-vous! Entrez usted! Irine! When I ran out of languages, I got up from behind the desk, walked to the door, and opened it. Standing there was a small, middle-aged man with a pink, bald head. His blue serge suit needed pressing, and he was nervously fingering a strawberry birthmark under his left ear.
Mr. Samuel Spade?
I am.
May I have a moment?
You may have several, but not in the corridor. It's not in my lease.
Oh, I'll come in.
Good, good, good. Well?
Well, you'll have to excuse me, Mr. Spade. I've had so few dealings with private detectives, I find it hard to begin.
Well?
Perhaps I shouldn't have come at all. Goodbye.
No, wait a minute. Maybe I can help you.
Well, you see, Oh, what's the use? You won't believe me. Nobody does. I'd really better go.
Oh, now, wait. I'll believe you. All I ask is a chance. Now, let's start with your name.
Oh, my name?
Yes.
Yes, my name. To begin with, you won't believe that. Oh, but I can verify it. Yes, I can. It's on the registration book of the Old Colony Hotel, in the 1943 phone book, and on my old driver's license.
Well, I'll have to know it before I can verify it.
Oh, yes, yes, of course you will. It's Tom.
Well, now that's not so hard to believe.
Oh, you haven't heard the rest of it. It's Tom.
A turkey.
You see, I told you wouldn't believe it. I'd better go.
No, now, let me be the first to believe you. Now, Mr. Tom, what's your problem?
Oh, dear. Dear, that's even harder to explain.
Well, now that I don't believe. But take a breath and jump into it.
Breath, yes. My name is Tom Turkey, and they're going to kill me for Thanksgiving.
Well, I had asked for it, and I had gotten it. And I sat back wondering who had gone to all the trouble to play this funny joke on me. I was looking at my hand to see if there was any itching powder on it where he'd shaken it when my phone rang. I lifted the receiver, swung around in my swivel, and gazed out onto the street. It was Al Kuchel calling, a private eye whose reputation was shadier than a mushroom seller.
Hiya, Spadey.
Al.
Haven't seen much of you lately, Spadey. Have to get together.
Yeah, well, so long.
Wait, I'll tell you why I called. I've had a pest in my office, keeps coming back. Thinks he's a turkey somebody wants to dress. I brushed him, but your name came up, and I just wanted to warn you. He might be in to see you.
I'm confused, Al. I never knew you to turn your back on a buck.
Oh, I don't want any of this one. His buttons are loose. My advice to you is to bounce him.
Well, we've never traded advice before, Kuchel. Why now?
Well, after all, we're in the same racket. If we can't help each other...
Oh, sure, Al, sure. I appreciate it.
Give me a ring. We've got to get together sometime.
Yeah, when I get a free night, we'll jimmy parking meters.
Yeah, we... Huh? Oh, yeah. Parking meters. I'll see you later, Spadey.
I turned back to the desk, and what I saw in front of me was an empty chair. Tom Turkey had taken wing. I got up and walked to the window, and a minute later, I saw him come out of the building downstairs and start to cross the street. And then I saw something else. A large 4-ton truck was tearing down the street, picking up speed. Instinctively, I shouted a warning, and at the last second, Tom Turkey scrambled from in front of the truck and disappeared into the alleyway. The truck roared up the street, and on its side was printed in gold letters, "Haynes, you drive it." There was nothing to say it wasn't coincidence, this near mishap, but somehow I found myself intrigued and wanting to hear more of the little guy's story. He said the Old Colony Hotel. On the way, I stopped at the library, found an old 1943 phone book, and looked. He was listed. Thomas Turkey, it said. Out of curiosity, I rang the number.
Hello?
I wonder if you can help me. I'm inquiring about a Mr. Turkey.
Turkey? This ain't his number no more.
I know.
Haven't had any calls for him for years. Screwy name.
Yeah, I know.
I knew a woman named Rabbit once. Mrs. Rabbit.
About Turkey, could you remember what he looked like?
I don't. Hey, Manny, what Turkey look like? Yeah. Small man, around 50. Nice fellow, Manny says.
Strawberry under his left ear?
Strawberry under his left ear, Manny.
Yeah.
Strawberry under his left ear.
Well, thank you, madam, for your information, and thanks to Manny.
Well, you're welcome, but I don't know what you're going to do with it. Old man Turkey's dead. Been dead for years.
Curiouser and curiouser, I thought. They had described the man who came to my office 20 minutes ago. And now he'd been dead for years. I continued on to the Old Colony Hotel. Room, 75 cents, it said. Tom's room was 114.
Who is it?
Sam Spade.
Oh, come in, Mr. Spade.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I ran away. I didn't think you really believed me.
Well, I'm not sure I do yet. Tell me, was that truck an accident?
Oh, I don't think so, no. They made three attempts before to kill me. Somebody tried to push me in front of a train, and then a wheelchair full of cement dropped off a building and just missed me, and then I was shot at.
Now, who were they, and why would they want to kill you?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Look, let's tack.
Tack?
Tack. I dialed your old phone number, and the people who answered said you're dead.
Oh, a lot of people think I'm dead.
Yeah. Look, do you still want me to work for you?
Oh, yes. Yes, please.
Well, you'll have to tell me more then. I can't...
I guess I'd better tell you everything. Oh, it's hard to talk about, Mr. Spade. It's not easy to admit to someone you've been a foolish man. You see, I just turned 50. I was quite tired of the life I'd led. Proper, dull, and unfruitful, except in money. My business was wearing, and so was my wife, Henriette.
This has a traditional ring.
Anyway, to make it short, I decided to run away. One day I drove to work. I parked my car in the middle of the Bay Bridge where the suicide note left it and disappeared.
Where did you go?
Oh, all over the world. I took a job on a boat. I did. On a boat. And then I settled in São Paulo, Brazil, under another name.
Now you're back. Why? Well,
maybe I got lonely. Maybe I got wiser. Maybe I felt I paid enough for my mistakes. Let's just say I'm back. I want to be with Henrietta.
Have you seen her?
I checked into this hotel and wrote her a letter saying I wasn't dead. I was back in San Francisco, and I wanted to come back to her if she still would have me. But I told her I wouldn't bother her unless she wanted to see me, that she could contact me here. That was a week ago.
And you haven't heard from her?
No, and almost right away these attempts on my life began.
I see. All right, what's her address?
3118 Monroe. Oh, she's taken her maiden name again. Black. Henrietta Black.
Come on, let's go.
No, I'm not going to see her until she asks me.
Well, look, you're going to my apartment. Nobody will bother you there.
And you're going to see Henrietta?
That's right.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Spade. You do believe me. I think I'm really ready to face the world again now.
I deposited Tom in my apartment with instructions to open the door for no one but me, and then I proceeded to 3118 Monroe in the high rent district. I was ushered through a comely portico by a Japanese maid who told me to wait in a study heavy with mahogany. In a moment, two people came in. The woman wore a black dress, silver pendant, flat shoes, and a complexion the color of apple meat. She was Miss Henrietta Black and or Mrs. Tom Turkey. The man turned out to be Leander Luce, the lady's attorney, business manager, and canasta partner.
You say you have something important to discuss with me, Mr. Spade?
I do.
I hope you don't mind my asking Mr. Luce to be here.
Not at all.
Well?
Mrs. Turkey, I've just talked to your husband, Tom.
Mr. Spade, if you please.
I say something?
A rather feeble attempt at comedy, Mr. Spade.
Well, I wasn't trying for laughs. You are Mrs. Turkey, aren't you?
I was.
You undoubtedly still are.
I've expected to hear another one of these cruel jokes about my name.
At Thanksgiving time, Mr. Spade, someone was always going to stuff Tom, baste him, dress him, slice him.
This season, they're going to kill him.
They are not going to kill him. He is already dead.
He's not dead, Mrs. Turkey, and you should know it.
I should.
Yes, he sent you a letter saying he was back in San Francisco and wanted to see you.
Mr. Spade, this has gone absolutely far enough.
Not quite. What about the letter?
I know of no such letter.
I see. Well, thank you for your time. I'm sorry I bothered you.
Yeah, you used bad judgment in coming in the first place.
Yes, maybe you're right. There was falsehood in this someplace, Lieutenant, and it stuck out like a fat girl in slacks. The only thing to do was to go back to my apartment, get Tom Turkey, and confront Mrs. T with her husband in the flesh. But when I got back to my apartment building, I spotted in rapid succession, one, an ambulance, two, a police car, and upstairs, outside my half-opened apartment door, I spotted three. You.
I've been expecting you.
What's going on, Kelsey?
Yes, serious, Sam, serious.
Who's that bald-headed man moving around the apartment?
That's McCracken, the new medical examiner. Checking a stiff on your rug.
I stepped around you, Lieutenant, and pushed the door all the way open. I saw McCracken kneeling over the body and a couple of men from homicide taking photos. I moved into the room feeling nothing good. A little guy had given me a job, and while I was yakking with his wife, somebody got to him. And in my apartment, where I'd stashed him. McCracken stood up, and I looked down at the body. Then I looked again. Who I saw wasn't Tom Turkey at all. It was the late Private Eye, Al Kuchel. While the men from Homicide were taking pictures, etc., you and I, Lieutenant, were going round and round on the question, if I didn't kill the man found in my room, who did? And you were sufficiently impressed with my insults, Kelsey, not to hold me for the murder. We bowed to each other and I left. Thinking back to the truck that had almost run Turkey down, I went to the Haynes U Drive truck rental garage.
What are you... I mean, what do you want?
I'm a detective. Could you give me a list of names for everybody who rented a truck from you during the past few days?
Sure.
He handed me a big registration book, and I read every name for the past week. For the first 5 days, they all seemed to be nice, normal, abnormal names. And then, under the rentals for the day before, was the name of John Smith. John had given his address as 7200 Kearney. And I happen to know that Kearney only goes up to 2000. The dispatcher said that Smith had returned the truck about 3 hours before. And he remembered him as an ugly, heavy-set, and rough-voiced character who looked like an ex-longshoreman. They had already washed the truck, so the fingerprints were all loused up.
Well, it's Mr. Spade again.
Look, I'd like to speak with Mrs. Miss Black, if you don't mind.
Come in. Come in.
Thank you.
This way. Into the den.
Right.
Well, I was sure you'd look into this affair a little more and realize that it was just a blind alley. A hoax of some kind.
Where's Miss Black?
Oh, she's upstairs, lying down. The whole affair has upset her, and she asked not to be disturbed. I think the wisest course of action for you, Mr. Spade, is just to let the matter drop.
You can't let a murder just drop, Mr. Luce. The police wouldn't hear of it.
Huh? Murder? Who?
An unfrocked private detective named Al Kuchel.
Well, what does this have to do with Henrietta Black?
Al Kuchel called me earlier today and said that Tom Turkey was a crackpot, a little man with delusions. He tried to top me off taking his case.
He sounds like a perceiving man.
Well, he didn't perceive ending up in my apartment with a bullet in his head.
Well, that's too bad, but I still don't see...
I left Tom Turkey in my apartment for safekeeping, and when I returned, he was gone and Kuchel was dead.
Well, that explains itself, obviously. This detective knew that Tom Turkey was a phony. And Turkey killed him.
It can figure that way. And a number of other ways.
Mr. Spade, I have no desire to sit here trading subtleties with you. As yet, no one has demonstrated that the real Tom Turkey actually exists alive. Now, until you do have something more concrete and less mythological, Miss Black requests that you do not come around opening up old wounds.
You've made an eloquent point. Just tell me one thing.
If I can.
When did Tom Turkey disappear? I mean, what month, what day?
It was, 1943, November. But I'm not sure of the exact day. I think it was in the third week.
Could it have been on Thanksgiving?
Very possibly, very possibly.
I returned thoughtfully to my office and did a little rapid mental arithmetic and came up with a number 7. From November 23rd, 1943 to November 23rd, 1950 was 7 years to the day. And I pondered this. What did the number 7 mean to the life or death of Tom Turkey? I had just hit upon the answer and was crying Eureka when my office door opened, unknocked, and a visitor came in unannounced. He was ugly, heavy-set, and looked like an ex-longshoreman. I waited to see if the voice checked.
You, Spade?
Who shall I say is calling?
Captain John Smith. And here's my calling card.
The first bullet grazed my shoulder and tore the padding out of my coat. The second bullet hit the water cooler and it crashed over, water and all on top of me. Where the third bullet hit, I wasn't sure at the time because darkness came rushing through my head like a freight train. When I opened my eyes again, I expected to see St. Peter checking my ID card. But all I saw were the dust balls under my desk and a fly bathing himself in a pool of water spreading slowly over the floor. There was blood on my hand, but it came from a glass cut. I was in shambles, but alive. Captain John Smith had shoved off, obviously thinking his bullets had done their work.
Homicide, Lieutenant Kelsey.
Sam Kelsey, have you found anything more about Tom Turkey?
Nothing, Sam. Frankly, I'm beginning to wonder if there is such a guy.
Well, clever Kelsey, a few minutes ago, a gorilla by the name, believe it or not, of Captain John Smith just tried to kill me in my office.
Oh, go on, Sam. I find it hard to think.
You find it hard to think, period.
Really, Sam? Did you get him?
No, but my office is a wreck, and there's a hole blasted in my wall big enough to put a basketball in.
Well, what did he use, a bazooka?
I figured dum-dum bullets.
Dum-dum? Well, that's illegal, ain't it?
Kelsey, doesn't it strike you as significant that every attempt on Turkey's life has been vicious, as if someone not only wanted to kill him, but also mutilate him?
Yeah, now that you mention it. Somebody probably wanted to make identification difficult.
Even dead, they didn't want anybody to know who he was. Now, listen carefully, Kelsey. This is real deep. Tom Turkey disappeared on Thanksgiving of 1943. A person has to be missing 7 years before he can be legally dead and his insurance collected. Now, if someone had Turkey insured, they could collect the day after this Thanksgiving, if Turkey didn't show up before.
You mean somebody's trying to kill him for the insurance?
I would say so, Kelsey. I would say so. Now, hurry up and find him. When I put down the phone, I heard a heavy pounding. For a minute, I thought it was in my head, until I turned to face the door, and standing there was a small pilgrim with bandy legs in black stockings, pantaloons, white-collared coat, and stovepipe hat.
Hallelujah!
He wore silver buckles, and what he was pounding on the floor was an 18th-century blunderbuss.
Hallelujah! Have I got the right place?
Well, offhand, I'd say so. If you're looking for Captain John Smith, he just left. Pocahontas is expected any minute.
Now, don't you go trying to confuse me. I'm too thirsty.
What's on your mind, Pilgrim?
Well, I'm looking for a fellow named Dan... Oh, I'm so thirsty, I forgot.
Sam Spade?
That's it, yes. Oh, you broke your water bottle, huh?
Yeah.
Good. That stuff's poison anyway. Hallelujah. Hey, say... Do you happen to have any hard cider around?
Fresh out.
Oh. I'm kind of thirsty, you know. Any type of corn squeezings?
Here, try this, Dad.
Well, yeah.
Good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You like that, huh? Oh.
Well, follow me. But before we go, do you suppose we could have a little something for the road? It's bitter cold.
I gave him a little, but not too much, because I didn't want him to lose his way. He walked me right down Market Street so he could look in the liquor store windows. He said it gave him a comfortable feeling to know there was so much good in the world. And then we turned right a few blocks until we came to the Helping Hand Mission. Across its gray front, a banner promised special holiday food and comfort to the unfortunate. And on the street in front of it, there was a brass band sending out signals to the fraternity that any minute the great feast of Thanksgiving would begin. The band members and other volunteer workers were all dressed as pilgrims, a quaint conceit. My pilgrim led me to a dark corner of the clubroom, and sitting there unhappily was none other than Tom Turkey.
Hello, Mr. Spade.
Oh, hello, Tom. What happened to my apartment? And why did you run away?
Well, I was afraid. You told me not to answer the door until you came back.
Yeah.
Well, somebody knocked on the door and said it was you, so I opened it, and two men came
in. Tell me, was one of them Al Cucho?
Yes, the detective. Yeah. The other man was a big, ugly-looking fellow. And when they saw I was alone, they started arguing.
About what?
Well, the detective said that now that he'd brought the ugly man there, he wanted his money.
Yeah.
The ugly man pulled a gun, and they started to fight. Oh, dear, I slipped out the door, and when I was halfway downstairs, I heard a shot and kept on running.
Well, Al Kuchel is dead.
Oh, my. I thought so. This was the only place I could think of to hide. Oh, when Henrietta finds out I've been mixed up in a murder, she'll never take me back.
Henrietta. Hey, tell me, did your wife ever have any insurance on you?
Oh, before I ran away, she did. A $50,000 policy, but... Oh, that would have lapsed by now.
Maybe. Did it have a suicide clause in it?
A suicide?
Yes.
Well, no. No, it didn't. I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd like to talk to Henrietta, wouldn't you? All right, here's her phone number. Call her up and tell her where you are.
Oh, dear, I don't think I could. I'm too frightened.
You've got to do something to help yourself. If you don't, by midnight, you might be a cold turkey.
Oh.
I'm sorry, it just slipped out.
All right, I'll do it.
Well, he went and made the call. When he returned, he said that a man had answered who said Henrietta would come down and pick Tom up. He didn't want to wait, but I sat on him. The pilgrim brought us a dish of turkey dinner, saying he couldn't stand food himself, and we munched a spell. In a little while, a limousine pulled up in front of the mission with someone in back whom I couldn't see. The chauffeur stepped out and came in inquiring for Tom Turkey. It was Captain John Smith himself. When he saw me, a look of shocked surprise came over his unhandsome face. Hoping to catch him off balance, I dove at him. It was the liveliest thing that has happened at the Helping Hand Mission in years, and we had a good house, too. Money was even changing hands. And when I heard the odds starting to go against me, I realized I'd better come up with something.
Here, use this, partner.
And I did. The bandy-legged pilgrim shoved his blunderbuss right in my hand. And I swung. Smith dropped like pheasant on the wing. I looked up. The passenger from the limousine was just coming in.
Yeah, what's the meaning of this?
It means, Leander Luce, that you're not going to carve Tom Turkey up for your Thanksgiving insurance policy.
Hallelujah! Hey, drumstick, anyone?
Period. End of report.
Sam, I don't understand.
Well, it's as plain as the cranberry stain on your dress, Seth.
Hmm?
Luce, as Henrietta's business manager, had her power of attorney. And secretly, he kept making the payments on Tom Turkey's insurance policy.
Oh, and then he'd collect for Henrietta and keep the money himself.
Effie, sometimes your lightning mind frightens me. Now, go type that up.
The man who killed Al Kuchel and tried to kill you, was his name really Captain John Smith?
Now, Effie, could we have a Thanksgiving caper without a Captain John Smith? It wouldn't be right.
It was a coincidence, wasn't it?
Well, if you promise not to tell anyone.
I won't.
His real name was Michael Giuseppe Yablonsky Smith. I called him John for short.
You're so kind.
Are we going over to your mother's for cold turkey snacks?
Well, all right, but I don't think there'll be much left.
Oh?
You see, my cousin Gertie couldn't find her little boy. And Mother phoned and said they just found him. He was inside the turkey, eating his way out.
Effie, is there no way to curb that tongue of yours?
Yes, sir. There's one way.
Well, come here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade on Tuned to Yesterday from the 24th of November, 1950 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of Golden Age of Radio Thanksgiving shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier. Coming up next, the Family Theater with their production of the holiday tale, Home for Thanksgiving. The story was heard 6 years previously in 1947 with this newer version broadcast in the same year that the Thanksgiving holiday would inspire the invention of the frozen TV dinner. An employee at the Swanson Company came up with the idea of packaging frozen turkey with all of the holiday trimmings, which started the food trend, although no one knew it at the time of this episode as it aired months before, on February 4th, 1953, on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Family Theater presents Stephen McNally and Joan Leslie. From Hollywood, the Mutual Network, in cooperation with Family Theater, presents Home for Thanksgiving, starring Joan Leslie. To introduce the drama, here is your host, Stephen McNally.
Thank you, Tony Lafrano. Family Theater's only purpose is to bring to everyone's attention a practice that must become an important part of our lives if we are to win peace for ourselves, peace for our families, or peace for the world. Family Theater urges you to pray. Pray together as a family. And now to our drama, Home for Thanksgiving, starring Joan Leslie as Letty. Only old-timers in New Plymouth remember that Letty Polk isn't a member of Clark Atwell's family. They recall the day Clark brought Letty to the farm from the orphanage downstate. She was to take care of his wife, Helen, who'd just had her fourth child. Letty was just 15 then, but old for her age. That was 20 years ago. The children Letty cared for are grown up and married now with children of their own. And the big farmhouse on the old mill road is usually quiet, except for occasions such as Christmas, 4th of July, or Thanksgiving. Today in the Atwell kitchen, Helen and Letty are preparing for the big day ahead.
And this year, we want to be sure there's plenty of dressing. You know how the men love it. Honestly, I believe they'd rather have the dressing than the turkey.
I'll fix some separate for Tom. He just can't eat onions.
Oh, that's right. I'd almost forgotten, Letty. Oh, it's been so long since Tom sat down to dinner with us.
The others used to tease him about not eating onions. He used to take it to be a weakness. I told him not to fret. We've all got our peculiarities.
Oh, you were always partial to Tom.
Well, he was the oldest. He used to help me with the others.
Letty, do you suppose he'll be much changed?
Nope, not in any important way.
But to be gone for 11 years all over the world, why, wherever the army took a notion to send him.
Boy, he didn't seem different when he came home on leaves.
Well, anyone can pretend for a few days, but now he'll be home to stay.
And aren't you glad? Heard Mr. Atwell singing the other day. He hasn't done that since the children were little.
They'll all be here this Thanksgiving, Letty. The whole family together.
14 of us, counting the two babies.
Tom's never seen Ella's baby, and he's only met Jerry at the wedding.
Yes, he's got a lot of catching up to do. This family's bursting at the seams.
Oh, well, Susan and Ken will drive. Ella and Jerry will have to fly in.
Mm-hmm.
And Reed will hitch a ride with some friends from state.
And Tom will be in on the 5:30 train Wednesday evening.
Yeah, we must forget to have Clark bring the high chair down from the attic.
Oh, I'll get it. Mr. Atwell's got enough to do between now and Thursday. I'd better air out some of those quilts we've had stored away.
Oh, I know it's best not to cling to your children once they've grown up and gone, but it is nice to have them back with you at times like this.
Sure, that's what families are for. Oh,
yes. Thanksgiving is a family time. Oh, it's been nice to have outsiders in these last years to make the table seem less empty, but it's not the same as being with your own.
Of course, there's those who don't have families.
Oh, Letty. Don't pay any attention to me. Oh, I talk too much. The older I get, the more I talk.
What you say usually makes good sense.
Have you heard from your brother and his wife lately?
Yes, I had a letter last week.
Oh, is he doing well?
This has been a good year for them. They bought a new house. It'll give them a lot more room.
Well, Middle Falls isn't far from here. A couple of hours on the train. You ought to pay them a visit, Letty.
Maybe I will. Sometime when I can be spared here.
Well, it's a shame when you've just the one close relative in the world not to keep in touch with him.
Well, I left the orphanage so many years before Brother did. We never really had a chance to be what you'd call close.
Oh, you were so young when you came here, Letty. I remember looking at you and saying to Clark, oh, she'll never do. She can't keep those wild youngsters in line. Why, Tom was almost as old as you.
He was going on 14. I was 15.
But you proved me wrong, though. You did a wonderful job.
Oh, well, they were good children.
Oh, Reed will be 20 next spring. You've been here 20 years.
That's right. It's hard to believe. Until you look at Susan's two children. See Ella's baby.
Letty, have you ever thought of leaving? Well, I mean, making another life for yourself?
Well, I've thought of it. My brother mentioned it in his letter. Well,
Clark and I are getting on, and if anything should happen... Oh, well, this is something we have to decide right this minute. We've got to finish this menu now.
I think we have just about everything.
Yeah, let's see. Cranberry sauce, turkey, sweet potatoes, dressing, peas.
I thought I'd bake a chocolate pie for dessert.
Chocolate? Oh, but Letty, we've got to have pumpkin pie. Well, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without it.
Oh, I'll bake pumpkin pies, too. The chocolate is for Tom. That's his favorite, remember?
Of course, for Tom. He'll appreciate it, Letty. Clark, are you going to work all night?
Yeah, looks like it. Honestly, Helen, I can remember a time when a man could farm who didn't know how to write his name. Now you spend more time filling out forms than you do in the fields. Maybe Tom can take over some of this paperwork.
Oh, of course he will.
Helen, do you suppose he's really set to stay here?
Well, that's what he said in his letters. 10 years in the army had given him all the roaming he wanted. Mm. Now he'd like to settle down. He wants a steady, secure kind of life.
Well, he's a hard worker, and he's as stubborn as they come.
So, all he needs for success is a wife who believes in him, hmm?
You know, you'd have thought Tom would have met someone before now.
Well, he told me once he'd never marry so long as he was in the service. You'll find someone in good time.
Sure you will.
Clark, Letty and I were talking today about Thanksgiving, the family being home.
She gets as excited about it as we do.
Clark, I think you and I have been terribly selfish.
Selfish? What way?
We've just taken it for granted that Letty was happy here.
Well, isn't she?
Well, from some things she said today, I think she'd like to make a life of her own.
What do you mean, make a life of her own?
Well, her brother's doing quite well in Middle Falls. He's invited Letty to come and visit him. She might even decide to make her home there. And besides, maybe in Middle Falls there'd be someone who'd fall in love with her.
Well, is that what she wants?
Well, any woman wants to have her own home, her own family. Clark, I'm going to insist that Letty go to her brother's for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving? But Helen, with all the children here, how will you manage without her?
Oh, Susan and Ella can help. It's not fair to keep Letty from being with her own people just because it'd be handier for us if she stayed here.
Well, if you put it like that.
It's the only way to put it.
Yeah, you know best, my dear.
It's the only fair thing to do, Clark. Tomorrow I'm going to tell Letty that she's to go home for Thanksgiving.
You know, I really liked that sermon this morning. Something we can all take to heart. Yes, Thanksgiving ought to mean more than just an annual chance for us to overeat.
Yes, it was beautifully put. Whatever each of us has harvested in this year that has passed, we should give thanks.
And I like the part about the harvest not being only in material things.
Yes, that's something we all overlook.
You know, this is my favorite time of the year. Bright and cold.
Wouldn't surprise me if we had snow before Thanksgiving. And Susan's Billy ought to be old enough to make a snowman this year.
Letty, Clark and I had a long talk after you went to bed last night, didn't we, dear?
Yes, we did. A long talk.
We decided that Thanksgiving was certainly no time for selfishness. Letty, we were saying yesterday that Thanksgiving's a family time, a time for being at home. Each person in his own home with his own family. Do you remember?
Yes, I remember.
Well, Clark and I want you to go home this Thanksgiving.
Go home?
Yes, to your brother's in Middle Falls. Helen said he'd invited you to come.
Why, yes. Yes, he did. But, I couldn't go now at Thanksgiving.
Why not?
Well, Mrs. Atwell can't take care of all those people without me. There'll be so much baking to do and housework and looking after the babies. If I weren't there, she'd have no chance to visit with the children.
Now, Letty, we're not going to let you sacrifice again. This year, we're going to think of you and what you want.
Oh, but I want to help.
No, if she doesn't want to go,
Helen... She must go. It's right for her to be with her own family.
Well,
if you and Mr. Atwell want me to go...
We do. You can help me the first part of the week and then catch a Wednesday afternoon train to Middle Falls.
How long did you expect me to stay?
Well, just as long as you like, Letty. Take time to meet your brother's friends. Look around Middle Falls.
All right. All right. Whatever you say, Mrs. Atwell.
Letty, what's for Sunday dinner?
Oh, Mrs. Atwell said to keep it simple today.
That sounds like we're going to go hungry. I suppose you two are saving the best for Thanksgiving, though.
That's right. Nothing but the best for Thanksgiving. I'm all ready, Mr. Atwell.
Letty, how nice you look. That new hat's very becoming.
Yeah, does nice things for your eyes, Letty.
Oh, thank you.
We better get started. It's 25 to 4.
Tell them all hello for me. I just hate not seeing them. You be sure little Billy keeps warm. He's had that cold, you know.
Oh, we'll take good care of him.
And Tom's chocolate pie is on the top shelf in the pantry. Don't let anyone else have it. It's just for him.
Oh, I'll remember. Goodbye, Letty. Have a nice Thanksgiving.
I'm sure I will. Goodbye. Oh, it's good to be home, Mother.
It's wonderful to see you, Susan.
Shouldn't we put the baby down while she's still asleep?
Oh, Ken can bring in the car bed as soon as he and Billy finish inspecting the horses and the cows.
No need to bring in the car bed. We've got a baby bed all set up. Just bring her in here.
Well, now, who in the world remembered this bed was in the attic?
Letty. She brought down the high chair for Billy, too, and the sterilizer set up in the kitchen.
There. Oh, she'll nap for another hour at least. Where is Letty?
Shh. We shouldn't talk in here. Come out to the living room.
Where is she? When she didn't come to the car, I suppose she was working in the kitchen.
Well, sit down, dear. Get warm. That's a long, cold drive.
Mother, for the last time, where's Letty?
Well, I decided it was time the Atwell stopped being so selfish. I sent Letty home for Thanksgiving.
Home? Well, I thought this was her home.
Oh, she has a brother. He's doing quite well in Middle Falls now, and he wanted her to pay them a visit. Your dad took her to the train.
Well, this is a surprise. I can't imagine Thanksgiving without Letty.
You wrote that Billy had been sick.
No, he had a cold. He's much better.
Well, Letty fixed a special bed for him where she thought he'd be warmer, and she dug out that old tractor he liked so well.
Oh, he's going to be upset when he finds out Letty's not here.
Well, I guess everyone's going to be upset. Well, I still say it's best for Letty. That's what matters.
Letty! Letty, wait!
Tom!
Letty! Oh, I couldn't believe it was really you. Oh, Letty, it's so good to see you.
Oh, you look wonderful, Tom. Just wonderful. But you're early. Your dad's meeting at 5:30.
Oh, I wanted a chance just to look around. I've got to get reacquainted with New Plymouth, the family, with you, Letty.
I think it's fine you decided to come back. Your dad needs you, and your mother's missed you a lot. She gets awful lonely with all the children gone.
And what about you, Letty? Are you glad I'm back? Have you missed me?
You know I have. Didn't I tell you in my letters?
Oh, if you knew what those letters meant to me. I read them everywhere. North Africa, Italy, London, Japan, Korea. And even if I didn't have time to answer, I knew your letters wouldn't stop.
I thought you'd like to know how things were. I looked forward to writing them. It was a little bit like talking to you.
All aboard!
Oh, Tom, I've got to go. My train's leaving.
Go? Well, where are you going? You're not taking a trip the day before Thanksgiving.
Yes. Your mother thought I should spend Thanksgiving with my brother. I'm leaving now for Middle Falls.
But you can't leave, Letty. Not on the day I come back.
Oh, I've got to, Tom. As your mother says, family should be together on Thanksgiving. You go home to your family, Tom. And I'll go home to mine. Goodbye, Tom. Goodbye.
I was beginning to get worried. What kept you so long? Where's Tom?
Well, he must have missed the 5:30. Next train's at 11. I'll meet that.
Oh, well, that's it, of course. Tom was always having trouble with...
The others here?
No, Reed's upstairs changing his clothes. Susan and Ken, the children, have been here a couple of hours.
Well, how's my Billy boy?
Oh, he's cried ever since they arrived.
Cried? Why? What's the matter with him?
Well, he misses Letty. He'd brought her a present, and it broke his heart when she wasn't here to take it.
Helen, I still wonder if we did the right thing there.
Why? What do you mean? Did Letty say anything?
Oh, no. No, she didn't say a word. But she looked like we were exiling her to Siberia. I've never seen anyone look as lonely as she did on that station platform.
But if she didn't want to go, she could have said so.
It occurred to me, Helen, that maybe she went because she thought we didn't want her here.
Oh, Clark, no.
Well, there was all this talk about Thanksgiving being a time for families to be together. Well, maybe Letty got to thinking that we considered her as an outsider.
But she knows that's not true. But, Clark, I only wanted her to be happy.
Well, it's too late to do anything now. She's in Middle Falls.
I thought I heard Dad's voice.
Sue!
You're about to be kissed by your eldest daughter.
Well, wonderful. Oh, you look fine, Sue. Oh,
well, we don't need to stand around the kitchen. Come on in and see Ken and Billy.
Oh, well, Ken's putting Billy to bed. You can see him in the morning.
Well, isn't this pretty early to put Billy in bed?
Well, he's literally cried himself to sleep, and he won't let go of that package he brought for Letty.
Oh, it's a shame Letty's not here.
Must we keep talking about Letty?
Helen.
Well, you're all making me feel as if I'd taken her away from you. I was only trying to do what I thought was best for her. And it looks as if I've spoiled Thanksgiving for everyone. I'm sorry. Believe me, I'm sorry.
Well, I guess I'd better get started. Susan and Ken going with me?
Oh, I think they're pretty tired, dear. Why don't you go ahead?
All right. You needn't wait up.
Oh, I couldn't sleep. If Tom isn't on this train...
He will be.
Why?
But Clark, someone's coming up on the porch.
Maybe it's Ella and Jerry.
Hi, Mom.
Oh. Where?
Dad?
Tom! Oh, Tom, we were so worried.
How are you, son?
Gee, it's good to see you. To be home.
I was just about to drive in to meet the 11 o'clock train.
I got in on the 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock? But it's... What's 10:30, Tom? Where have you been?
Well, Mom, as I got off the 4 o'clock, I met Letty getting on.
You saw Letty?
I saw Letty. And I persuaded her not to take that train.
Well, I don't understand.
Neither do I, Mrs. Atwell.
Letty! Well, but we thought that you...
Letty didn't want to go to Middle Falls, Mom. She wanted to have Thanksgiving here with us. Just as she has for the last 20 years.
Oh, Letty, why didn't you tell me?
Well, I thought you wanted me to go. I thought you wanted just the family here.
Oh, no, Letty, no. Oh, what a mess I made of things.
Oh, it's all right now, Mom. Just a misunderstanding. She knows now how we all feel. She's one of the family, our family.
Oh, Billy cried himself to sleep tonight because you weren't here, Letty.
Oh, he'll be all right in the morning when he finds out that you've come back, though.
And she's back to stay. The reason we're so late, I took Letty to dinner and I asked her a question that's been in my mind for a long, long time. And she said yes.
A question? Tom, you mean that you and Letty...
I asked her to marry me, Mom.
Oh, but I had no idea.
Neither did I. Till I went away. And then Letty wrote me. Well, not love letters, not in the ordinary sense, but letters about the farm, about the family. And I fell in love with the woman who wrote those letters.
And I've been in love with Tom since the day Mr. Atwell brought me here.
Oh, Tom, Letty. Why, I've never been happier to have both of you here from now on.
Congratulations, son.
Why, Clark, you... You said a farmer needed to work hard, have a stubborn streak, and know his wife believes in him.
That's right. And now Tom has all the qualifications.
Oh, gracious, it's getting late. And tomorrow's going to be a big day. We'd all better get some sleep.
Right. Uh-oh, just one thing. I didn't have any dessert tonight, and Letty said she baked a chocolate pie.
It's on the top shelf in the pantry. I'll get it for you, Tom.
Oh, it's going to be a wonderful Thanksgiving after all, dear.
The best, Helen. The best ever.
This is Stephen McNally again. Once a year in Southern California, all the people who moved here from Iowa have a picnic. It's usually quite an occasion, with a picnic table nearly a mile long, every conceivable kind of picnic dish, and thousands of nice people renewing acquaintance with thousands of other nice people. Yes, it's quite an event, the Iowa picnic, but it's nothing new. Centuries ago, our ancestors were holding similar get-togethers. But those were strictly family affairs, clan gatherings. At certain times each year, all the sons and daughters, uncles, aunts, cousins, brothers and sisters would bundle up all the children and off they'd go to spend a couple of days with the patriarch, the head of the family. Of course, there'd be athletic events, feasting, dancing, singing, and the general renewal of family ties. But these things were extra. They were not the purpose of the gathering. The purpose was family prayer. That's right. Family prayer. They would gather as a family to pray as a family, to acknowledge the fatherhood of God and their complete dependence upon Him in everything, to pray for the things they needed, and to thank Him for past favors. So you see, your forefathers placed a great value on family prayer, and rightfully so. For they could have given you living proof of what we say each week here on Family Theater. The family that prays together stays together.
More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. From Hollywood, Family Theater has brought you Home for Thanksgiving, starring Joan Leslie. Stephen McNally was your host. Others in our cast were Irene Tedrow, Alice Backus, John Stevenson, and Pat McGeehan. The script was written by John McGreevy, with music composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman, and was directed for Family Theater by Joseph F. Mansfield. This series of Family Theater broadcasts is made possible by the thousands of you who feel the need for this type of program, by the Mutual Network, which has responded to this need, and by the hundreds of stars of stage, screen, and radio who give so unselfishly of their time and talent to appear on our Family Theater stage. To them and to you, our humble thanks. This is Tony Lofrano expressing the wish of Family Theater that the blessing of God may be upon you and your home, and inviting you to be with us next week when Family Theater will present The Indispensable Man, starring Robert Stack, Deborah Padgett, and Leslie Gay. Join us, won't you? This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The Family Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 4th of February, 1953, from the Mutual Broadcasting System. And that does it for this hour of Thanksgiving shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be with us again for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeValnier. Thanks for listening, and happy Thanksgiving.